الصين ان شاء الله before commencing to fill in the gaps if there are any in front of us inshallah so as to enable those who are coming later to come into the back section of the masjid. جزاكم الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم السلام على أكرم الخلق سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. وقال شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد أظلكم شهر عظيم مبارك. وقال أيضا عنه وهو شهر المواساة وشهر الصبر. وبعد. Respected علماء الكرام, حفاظ of the Quran الكريم, elders and friends in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Right at the outset, we praise and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the great gift of Iman that all the wealth of this world put together in the most valuable form can never equate to even an iota of Iman. The very existence of this world is dependent on Iman, for indeed our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تقوم الساعة على أحد يقول الله الله. Never will Qiyamah take place. In other words, never will this world be destroyed and terminated as long as there is a single person on the surface of this earth taking the name of Allah, merely remembering Allah by His beautiful and perfect and grand name and saying Allah Allah. So thousands, nay hundreds of thousands, millions, billions and trillions of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this most priceless gift. We are also extremely fortunate to find ourselves on the doorstep of that mubarak and auspicious occasion that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved in the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Allah ta'ala, used to anxiously and enthusiastically await and make dua for witnessing this month 2 months before its advent. Therefore we find the mubarak habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the 2 months preceding the mubarak month of Ramadan. Allahumma barik li fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. Oh Allah, bless me in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban. Wa ballighni Ramadan. And oh Allah, give us life and enable us to witness the auspicious and mubarak month of Ramadan. Now indeed, this is undoubtedly the most auspicious and blessed month on the Islamic calendar. A brief history into fasting, which is a salient feature of this month, obviously. On the one hand, fasting was practiced with somewhat differences by the previous nations' adherents of the previous shariats. So this is a command that was given to believers of all the previous prophets, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Allah Ta'ala tells us this when He had ordained fasting as compulsory upon the Ummah, for us to understand that this is not an impossible practice, for indeed the pious believing servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prior to you had also submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of fasting. Insofar as fasting in the Islamic Sharia is concerned, so beautifully and so wisely as we see in many of the injunctions, there was a gradual increase in as far as this command is concerned. So right at the outset, it was only after the Hijrah that initially only fasting on Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, was ordained. Thereafter, the command was given for fasting in the month of Ramadan, however, with an option that try and fast, and if you find it too difficult, then you have the option of paying the fidyah, the monetary compensation in lieu of fasting if you found it too difficult. And thereafter, the final command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fasting has been ordained as fard ayn and compulsory upon every individual of this ummah, male or female, who reaches the age of puberty. And only in the extreme cases of traveling, a person is excused as a musafir to keep the fast at the time when returning home, or if one is too ill or incapacitated and for medical reasons cannot fast, if one thereafter regains fasting, one should keep those fasts, and if not, then the monetary expiation should be given in lieu of these fasts. On a very similar occasion that we find ourselves sitting in this masjid on this occasion, Sayyiduna Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as narrated by the great Sahabi Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, who has the great honor, about whom Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Salmanu minna ahl al-bayt. Salman, though he was of Persian origins, such was his dedication and his submission in search of the haqq and truth of a lengthy journey towards his Islam, that he is actually from our household members, from the close family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this on the occasion when the Muhajirin and the Ansar were vying with one another that Salman should be from amongst our category. So Salman radiallahu anhu narrates that right at the end of the month of Sha'ban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon, a khutbah to us, and said to us in the following words, Ya ayyuhan nas, qad adallakum shahrun azeemun mubarakun. O people, a very great and a blessed and an auspicious month has dawned upon you. It is on your doorstep. Now on this very word, that this advice was tendered prior to the starting of the month of Ramadan, in itself is a great lesson, that listen to the importance of Ramadan, the various actions of Ramadan, even before it starts, so that from the moment it commences, the very first second, it can be put to maximum use and benefit. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to mention 11 points pertaining to the virtues and the special actions of this month. Shahrun fihi laylatun khayrun min alf shahr. It is this month that contains within it that one night, that worshipping in it is better than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1,000 months. Varying opinions as to when Laylatul Qadr and the night of power falls, the most preferred that it falls within the last 10 nights, and specifically within the odd numbered nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Allah is Kareem, Rahim, Rahman. Out of 365 days a year, may Allah, the most compassionate, is asking us, dedicate yourselves, if you can't throughout the year, by staying awake in the special moments, at least 5 nights a year, in the last 10 nights, the odd numbered nights, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, and thereafter encouraging that continue it on the night of Eid, of staying awake for ibadah. This carries immense and great reward. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, شَهْرٌ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ صِيَامَهُ فَرِيضًا وَقِيَامَ لَيْلِهِ تَطَوُّعًا. It is that month that Allah ta'ala has ordained as fard ayn and compulsory. You know, it really makes the heart bleed when we hear youngsters who are concerned for the well-being of this ummah relating accounts. You know, the elders would bear me out that in earlier years, a person could have had many weaknesses, but the respect, the veneration of the month of Ramadan, by witnessing the fasting was by and large practiced by one and all. And this is an action in which there is absolutely no compromise. Youngsters would relate how so many numbers of the youth, colleagues, would consider it a burden to fast in the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, where are we going? What is our direction when this is the attitude towards one of the most fundamental and basic principles of Islam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man sama Ramadan imanu wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbih." Whomsoever fasts throughout the month of Ramadan with iman, with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with ikhlas and sincerity for the pleasure of Allah, and with the full hope of the promised reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah, what a great glad tiding. Come the end of the month of Ramadan and he is completely cleansed of every sin that had been committed in one's previous life. Fasting is that action that relates a person in a very special bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bi." Fasting is that action which is especially for me, a special relationship between my servant and me, and I shall personally reward a person, one who had fasted for my pleasure. A variation in the narration would also translate as that I become the reward. My love, my muhabbat, my special mercy becomes the reward of one who had dedicated himself or herself unto me by means of fasting. And that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is as far as the day is concerned, as far as night is concerned, our duty in the month of Ramadan, as sunnah mu'akkada, the taraweeh salah, 20 rakats of the taraweeh salah, two sunnahs, observing the taraweeh salah throughout all the nights of Ramadan, and thereafter, listening to the entire Quran being a specific sunnah in the month of Ramadan. This is the month of Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every month of Ramadan, together with the Taraweeh Salah, used to recite whatever Quran had been revealed up to that stage unto Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. And in the last Ramadan, two readings of the Quran unto Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. So let us, in the days and nights of Ramadan, take out special time for the tilawah and recitation of the Quran Kareem, trying to recite as much as possible. The pious predecessors of the Ummah have set very high standards. Some of them, such as Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, in the month of Ramadan, would complete the Quran 60 times, one during the day and one during every night of Ramadan. There are those who would complete a Quran every day. There are those who would complete the Quran every 3 days in the month of Ramadan. Depending on our pace, adhering to the rules and regulations of reciting the Quran Kareem correctly, let us try and do as much as possible. The bare minimum that we try and target is to recite at the bare minimum at least one complete Quran during the month of Ramadan. And this will bring with it the mercies, the rahmat, the barakat of Allah Ta'ala into our homes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen, was of the Mubarak habit that whenever he would enter his home on a daily basis, after greeting the family members, the first thing that he would do was open the Quran and do tilawah and recitation of the Quran Kareem. This is a month that has a special relation not just to the Quran but even previous revelations. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given his scriptures on the first of Ramadan. Dawood alayhi salam was given the Zabur on the 12th, as was Isa alayhi salam given the Injil, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah on the 6th of the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Thereafter, in encouraging to doing as much good as possible in all its form and mannerisms, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man taqarraba fihi bi khasla." Whomsoever does an optional act in the month of Ramadan, two rakats of nafal salah, spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, assisting a person in some difficulty, Allah ta'ala elevates it to the reward of a farad and a compulsory action. And whomsoever accomplishes a farad action in the month of Ramadan, its reward is multiplied 70 times as a treasure for the akhirah. وهو شهر الصبر والصبر ثوابه الجنة. Fourthly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is the month of patience. Now this requires some elaboration. The very meaning of the word fasting, as-siyam, which means to restrain and to be steadfast. And here we find Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Ramadan is the month of sabr. That just as in the month of Ramadan, definition of fasting is from the time of Subh Sadiq until the time of sunset, one refrains from food, drink and cohabitation. Things that are normally halal for a person, we abstain and refrain during the period of fasting. That is why Allah Ta'ala says the objective of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, inculcate the quality of taqwa, of piety, Allah awareness, and especially abstention from sin. So just as during the day in Ramadan, we are staying away from food, from drink, which is normally halal for us, we are accustoming our entire bodies. My eyes are fasting from looking at haram. My hands, my feet, my ears, my tongue especially, the sins of the tongue, backbiting, slander, malicious statements, hatred, disunification within the ummah. All of these I refrain and I stay away from. This is the primary objective of fasting, that my entire body becomes accustomed to abstention from that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So beautifully a saying goes, that you have to learn to say no to be able to say yes. We have to learn to say no to be able to say yes. In other words, we have to first learn to abstain and stay away from those things that are haram in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, to enjoy the actions of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very, very beautiful example given, that just as a little breastfeeding child, when one of the very, very difficult moments in the cycle of growing up is the time when a breastfeeding child has to be weaned off the mother's milk, a very difficult occasion for mother and child. But that child has to learn to say no to the breast milk of the mother to be able to then enjoy the various delicacies that can be found in other kinds of food. So similarly, we have to learn to say no to the haram to enjoy the acts of ita'ah and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it is also Shahrul Muwasat, the month of compassion and sympathy for one another. In the state of fasting, we taste a little bit of what many millions in the world are going through by means of the pangs of hunger. I would just like to share an experience I had last week in visiting in Kenya. We know the entire Horn of Africa region that is inclusive of Somalia, Somaliland, Djibouti, parts of Ethiopia, Sudan, as well as northeastern Kenya, have been afflicted by the severest drought seen in 6 decades, in 60 years, the worst drought that has afflicted these areas. We had the opportunity while being in northeastern Kenya, the region itself is very severely afflicted, but there's a huge influx of refugees coming in from Somalia. We had visited the refugee camps around the city of Dadaab. There are some who had been refugees there for the last 20 years. But the severe drought in the last 2 months has brought, and we had seen the registers, in this one camp, more than 110,000 individuals at the least count have come here in desperate search of food and water. We had spoken personally to the refugees. Some had made a trip of 15 days, some for 10 days had walked continuously with very meager, limited resources of water, and some of them no food at all. They had told harrowing tales of how they had to leave behind some of the elderly under a tree. I left behind my elderly mother or father because they could not continue the journey, and up to now I do not know what has become of them. Many had spoken of little children who had died literally in the hands of their mothers, who were so weak that they could not even dig a grave to bury them. Many animals en route had also died because of the pangs of hunger and thirst. The situation within the camps, as much as the Kenyan government we had witnessed are trying their level best to facilitate and make it easy, really it is a very, very desperate situation. People are going 2-3 days without any food. spending an entire day surviving on water, or sometimes merely on black tea. The immigration officials within the camp have personally told us of how a child had died literally in front of the eyes while being registered for refugee purposes. Subhanallah, when we entered one camp, within 5 minutes, approximately 60 to 70 people had thronged around the car and said that we are so happy to see you, so happy to see you. We want nothing from you but merely the sight of a Muslim who has come to us, causes us great joy and gives us great encouragement. One of them remarked, we fear that many of the church organizations that are now distributing food would soon put up schools, which obviously would deprive us of the knowledge of Quran and Islamic teachings. But really an inspiring moment, in a very, very sad moment, when seeing all of the, you know, dead carcasses around us, malnourished children, little children spewing because of the pangs of hunger. Subhanallah, we found two little Somali children with a Quran in the hand, and we went a little further and found that one of the first things that the refugees in this camp had done was set up the traditional system of learning and teaching Quran, known as the Duksi Quran, wherein the hifz of Quran is learned in the traditional manner without the means of a Quran, but merely writing on slates. People fighting for survival, having this worry and concern, tells us the depth of iman that can be found in these people. We entered a madrasa of this nature wherein the children are sitting on bare ground, playing with the sand on their feet, and reciting the Quran Kareem so beautifully. An opportunity for us to do some introspection into our lives, that we are really bathing in the ni'mas and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be highly appreciative and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors. By channeling the given favors of Allah in His obedience and not in His disobedience, by considering and opening up our hearts generously to those who are in such plight. Within our own country, let us also remember many millions are in very, very stark poverty. One lesson that we can take away from here, from the month of Ramadan, Shahrul Muwasat, in those moments when we crave for water and drink, think of those who are less fortunate than us. Let us at least be thankful for whatever we find in our homes, on our tables. And let us simplify our living standards in some way or the other. Let us bring ourselves down in some way or the other. Let us refrain and stay away from israf and from extravagance and wastage of the resources of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, by going there, we realize how extremely fortunate we are. Walhamdulillahi ala dhalik. وهو شهر يزاد في رزق المؤمن فيه. This is also the month wherein the risk and sustenance of a mu'min is increased, barakah and blessings in one's sustenance. ومن فطر فيه صائما, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as the seventh advice, whomsoever gives a person something to break, fast something at the time of iftar, three great promises. مغفرةً لذنوبه, a means of forgiveness of our sins. Allah secondly expiates and saves us from the fire of Jahannam, and one will get the full reward together with one's own fast, the reward of the person who had fasted, the reward of his or her fast, on account of giving them something at the time of iftar, even if it is something as simple as a few drops of water, a few sips of milk, a date, whatever is within one's capacity to try and contribute towards iftar arrangements. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also says about the month, breaking it into three phases: awwaluhu rahma wa awsatuhu maghfira wa akhiruhu itqun min an-nar. The first 10 days, months of deriving and begging Allah for His mercy. The second 10 days wherein Allah Ta'ala forgives huge multitudes of this ummah. And the last 10 nights when Allah Ta'ala expiates and removes from the list of the inhabitants of the fire of Jahannam many millions of this ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also encourages that those who have in their employment, those who are fasting, then lessen and lighten the burden of those who are fasting in the month of Ramadan. Amongst those who are in your employment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a means of your burden being lightened. your sins being forgiven, and Allah Ta'ala expiating you from the fire of Jahannam. And then in the last advice, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَاسْتَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالٍ. In this month, do four things in great abundance. Two are such that you do them solely to gain the pleasure of Allah, and the last two are such that you have no choice but to do them. The first two by which you gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, abundantly recite La ilaha illallah and Astaghfirullah. And the two about which you have no choice but to engage in them is to beg and beseech Allah to make us from the inhabitants of Jannah, and beg and beseech Allah to protect us from the fire of Jahannam. So abundant recitation of La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, asking Allah for Jannah and protection from the fire of Jahannam is something that we try and moisten our tongues with abundantly and frequently in the month of Ramadan. Also, we know it is a month of dua, especially in the state of fasting. One of those whose duas are never rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the duas of a fasting person, especially in the dying moments of fast, the moments before iftar. We try and engage in dua and take from that guaranteed acceptance of duas, those special moments in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very briefly, to run through the hadith, the Messenger of Allah has said, a great month, an auspicious month, a night therein which is better than 1,000 months of ibadah. Fasting ordained as compulsory during the day, and the taraweeh salah is sunnah mu'akkada. The reward of good deeds multiplied manifold. The month of patience, the month of sympathy and compassion for one's fellow creation. Abundance of blessings in the month of Ramadan. Encouragement of feeding at the time of iftar, giving to drink at the time of iftar. The first part being the month, the first 10 days of mercy, the middle 10 of maghfirah and forgiveness, and the last freedom from the fire of Jahannam, and lessening the burden of those who are in our employment, and doing four things abundantly, La ilaha illallah, Astaghfirullah, As'alullah al-Jannah, wa na'udhu billahi minan nar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me firstly and all of us the opportunity to witness the month of Ramadan in a state of iman, in the manner that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say Ramadan Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem to everyone in the congregation, in the Ummah at large. And this is a time that we spare a thought for those who are less fortunate than us, fellow Ummatis in various parts of the world going through great difficulties, that we open up our hearts to them, open up our du'as to them as frequently as possible. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Announcement, brothers, is that inshallah the collection that will take place today after the Jummah Salah is dedicated to our neighboring locality, the Northcliffe community. We know inshallah that they're in the final stages of the masjid project, and we know that once a masjid comes up, how much goodness can emanate from a masjid. So every little bit that we contribute towards it, inshallah we will have a full share in all the good that will come out of that masjid as long as it stands and it exists. And one of those things that a person continuously sees the rewards even after our eyes close is contributing to such projects of Sadaqa Jariyah. Let us inshallah open up our hearts, donate as generously as possible to this most noble project. Jazakumullah khairan wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.